God's word for you. 1 Chronicles 15:19-24. We've skipped verses 17 and 18. There that we get the names of some of the musicians that the Levites appointed to accompany the ark, and we skipped over those since all of the men named are given in these verses as well, according to what instrument they played or if they sang or what have you. So verses 19 to 24, the musicians, Heman, Asaph, and Ethan, were to sound the bronze cymbals. Zechariah, Aziel, Shemiramoth, Jehiel, Unni, Eliab, Maaseiah, and Benaiah were to play lyres according to Alamoth, Mattathiah, Eliphelehu, Micniah, Obed-Edom, Jeel, and Azaziah were to play harps, directing according to Sheminith. Kenaniah, the head Levite, was in charge of the singing. That was his responsibility because he was a music teacher. Berechiah and Elkanah were doorkeepers for the ark. The priests, Shebaniah, Joshaphat, Nethanel, Amasai, Zechariah, Benaiah, and Eleazar were to blow trumpets before the ark of God. Obed-Edom and Jehiah were also doorkeepers for the ark. Heman, Asaph, and Ethan were already described in detail in 1 Chronicles chapter 6. Heman was also a prophet or seer of King David. We'll find that out again in chapter 25. Asaph was the author of a dozen psalms in the Bible and was assigned to minister before the ark in Jerusalem for David, which we'll see again in chapter 16. Ethan wrote Psalm 89, Heman wrote Psalm 88, and these three men all led the way for the ark and kept the beat of the music by sounding bronze cymbals. Modern cymbals are usually brass, which has almost the same alloy ratios as bronze. They probably sounded very much like the cymbals we hear in our orchestras and school bands. Two musical terms show up here that might help to understand them better in the Psalms. Alamoth in verse 20 and Psalm 46 is similar to the word for virgin. It's usually understood to mean a high-pitched or falsetto voice. Here the lyres were tuned for this, and since the lyre was a larger stringed instrument, it would not naturally be played in the higher range. Sheminith in verse 21, also in Psalm 6 and Psalm 12, is a manner of tuning the harp, perhaps to a lower octave. The word is related to the Hebrew word for eight. For example, Ben Sheminat, the son of 8 days in Genesis 21, was a boy who was 8 days old and should be circumcised. Now, whether Sheminith was about a lower octave or some other musical term, we can't really be certain. The other musical instrument mentioned here is the trumpet. This was not the ram's horn, but the metal straight trumpet, which ended in a small bell like modern trumpets and cornets. In practice, it was quite similar to the bugle, which is simply a straight horn looped around to be easier to hold. Both are played without valves and are capable of a five-note scale, if memory serves. I used to play cornet in high school, and we learned how to play as if we were a bugle, too. And I remember the B-flat bugle scale being middle C, G, high C, E, and G, but Maybe that's not exactly right. That the oldest operational straight trumpets are older than David's time. A pair found among King Tut's treasures, the 1330s BC, that's 300 years before David's time. One of those is brass and the other one is actually silver. In fact, we have the same distinction in horns today. Some are brass and some are silver. Kenaniah is called the music teacher. That's my translation. It's a Hebrew participle. Many translations give this word as something like he had understanding or he had skill. But in the Hifil causative stem, the word seems to mean that he gave understanding or he caused others to have skill, as it does in Psalm 119, verse 130. Therefore, I've interpreted this to mean that he was a music teacher. Just the sort of qualified man who should lead the singing. The same word occurs again in 1 Chronicles 27, 28, and 2 Chronicles 34. We might have more to say later in those other Chronicles passages. The doorkeepers for the ark were not merely ceremonial posts. Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, had died because of unauthorized incense and fire that they offered in Leviticus 10. The tent David pitched for the ark was no more secure than a fabric tent. And so the presence of watchmen who were also Levites who understood God's will surrounding the ark was a necessary precaution. It was also a position of honor since they were also able to live their faith in a unique way. As Peter says, show proper respect to everyone, love the brotherhood of believers, fear God, honor the king. David was preparing to bring the ark, the visible sign of the invisible God, into the city. Then one day it would reside, well, where? Was David already considering the construction of a temple in the city? We'll return to this line of thinking soon in chapter 17, but for now, David was simply planning on bringing the ark into his city, behind its walls, where it would be safe from enemies, at least. All of the preparations and planning we see here could be compared with the planning that goes into a church service today, except this was more than an average church service. It was even more than a special holiday service. This wasn't a once-in-a-year occasion. It was once in a lifetime. So David planned everything as carefully as he could. They wouldn't just wheel the ark into town. They would carry it, singing, making music, rejoicing, and even dancing. Let the word of Christ lift up your voice in song as well. In Christ, I'm Pastor Tim Smith. This is God's word for you.